Welcome to the Pouncecast. My name is Matt Menzel, being joined on this edition by Milwaukee baseball head assistant coach, pitching coach, Corey Bigler, who's completed his 24th season on the Panther baseball coaching staff. And coach, first of all, thanks a lot for your time and what a run it was here in 2026. So let's begin by talking about the season that was. And how would you summarize this historic 2026 season?
Well, thanks for having me, first of all. But I would say it was a season that had a lot of ups and downs. It was a season that was unpredictable from the standpoint of where we came from. I don't think anybody really saw us going to where we got to. So ultimately, I think we not necessarily overachieved. I think we got to a point where people, you know, maybe thought that we played above our heads. But I do think that was our team at the end. I think we played more to the level of where we thought we could be early, and we just didn't get there.
You talk about the ups and downs. Was there a point, at least for you, that you said, hey, this could be a special season if we just fix ABC?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think early on, our offense, for whatever reason, just wasn't clicking. I saw it early in the fall that this was going to be a special offense. Just was not producing for whatever reason. So as we went on throughout the season, you could see guys get more comfortable. I think once that happened and they saw that they could be that good, that's when we kind of took off. The pitching was, you know, I'm the pitching guy. So from the pitching perspective, I felt like we had our moments and we had some steady guys, but we just didn't really ever get to where we wanted to be. But I think we did enough to get, you know, to a spot that made it a special year.
Look at the way the season began. Another challenging non-conference slate. You visited LSU. You went to Duke, Evansville, Minnesota, Southeast Missouri, a pit stop at Purdue. Later on, at Notre Dame, at UNLV. And regardless of wins and losses, what did you learn about this team? What were your takeaways from that non-conference?
Yeah, WEG sets that up that way. So we know coming out of our first 4 weeks, it's going to be tough. It's going to be the same way, you know, every year when we come out of our first 4 weekends, because that's just the way that we schedule. But I love it. I think that's actually the way it should be. Tough tests early on against Power Fours. Some really good arms we're facing. We see really good competition and great venues. And I think that does set us up, if our guys can handle it mentally, to get to a point where they end up believing. You know, once they see that they can compete with some teams from the South, some teams in Power Four conferences. I do think that it is very difficult to go through that gauntlet mentally, but you just have to have the right guys, the guys that believe in themselves no matter what the scoreboard might say after the first 4 weeks.
Do you feel like that played a factor going into the NCAA tournament, where maybe the guys were so used to that non-conference slate that they weren't intimidated by the fact that, hey, we have to go to Auburn for game one?
Yeah, absolutely. I really do believe that. You know, going to LSU in that kind of venue early on to start out, guys kind of got a feel for that and a taste for it. Now, you still have to play baseball. You still have to pitch. You still have to, you know, field ground balls. You still have to be able to make smart decisions in the box and take good swings. But I do think that helped our guys once we got there. And we had some really mature people on this team. You know, the level of maturity across the board really was at a different level from the year before. I don't think we really did handle it very well.
And I'm guessing heading into the season, you have a pretty good idea of what the starting rotation may look like. Maybe there's a couple of question marks here and there. So when you approach that early non-conference schedule, what do you look for from the pitching staff?
Yeah, I mean, you're really just looking for guys to make sense of what they're doing. You know, I'm calling pitches, so I get a different feel for how games really get processed. When we leave a game, I'm not necessarily thinking that the scoreboard tells much of the story, really. You know, if I'm calling a fastball away and that pitch makes sense, whether they hit that spot or miss their spot, or if it's an off-speed pitch in a, you know, backwards situation, backwards count, that's what I'm looking for. I really want the pitchers to make sense of their pitches. And if they're doing that, we can build on that. If guys get into those types of settings, bigger settings, or in just in general, are not making sense of where the ball is supposed to be thrown or being able to repeat at a high enough level, I know we're in trouble.
And we'll talk more about some of the individual pitchers as we go along, but heading into Horizon League play, the Panthers had a record of 2-14, that tough non-conference slate, before taking 2 out of 3 at Northern Kentucky, following 3 losses then at Wright State, losses in the first 2 games of that home series against Youngstown State. The ball started to bounce the Panther direction, end up winning 10 of 11. When you look at that stretch, winning 10 of 11, in your opinion, what was key? Was it simply, you know, everything started to click? Is there more to it?
I think some of it is baseball. You know, just the ball falling your way, a call here or there, whatever the case might be. But I think just getting a couple of wins, and then once it starts rolling, that belief does really come into play. And for the most part, I don't think we changed mentality or had some watershed moment or anything that kind of changed things. It's just more or less guys going into those situations with a little bit of an added edge, as opposed to expecting things to go the wrong direction. They kind of expected things to go the other direction, you know. When you have that type of belief that things are going to fall your way, I think the last little bit of your pitch, the last, you know, little bit of intent in your swing all just get to a little bit of a higher level. And I think that's where we got to. That just kind of builds on itself and creates some swagger.
When I look at that stretch, one of the wins that stands out to me is that 4-0 victory against Wright State back on April the 25th. And Eric Emke ended up throwing 7 shutout innings, only allowing 4 hits. The bullpen able to preserve the shutout. When you think back to that day, and maybe throughout the course of the year, what was working for Emke that day and that shutout of a very talented Wright State lineup?
Yeah, you know, Eric's really got to hit his spot. You know, his fastball velocity and his profile, for the most part, isn't just going to wow you. You know, his stuff isn't going to jump off the page. He's got to be able to go back and forth, east and west, you know, go up in the zone when he needs to, and just sequence pitches and try to tunnel pitches as best he can. And I think on that day, he just did a really good job of backing up pitch after pitch and making, kind of what I said earlier, making sense of his misses. You know, if he hit his spot, he would get a good result, and if he made a miss on that day, it wasn't a miss that was going to hurt him. And that's really the key at this level, you know, just making sense of what you're doing. And for the most part, that's what he did on that day.
And piggybacking off that a little bit, when you look at Emke, he made 15 appearances, 14 starts this past spring, his second year with the Panthers. What improvements did you see him make maybe from 1 year to the next?
Well, I think a lot of it is just what we discussed, you know, making sense of what he's doing and not having such big misses or misses that would hurt him. I also do think that no matter what level you come from, when you get to the Division I level, the second year is the year that you kind of settle a little bit, whether it's a freshman coming in off of a high school schedule or if it's a JUCO player, even a four-year transfer, you know, from a Division I, it's still, you have to get accustomed to your surroundings. You need to understand what your coaches are looking for. You just get a little bit more of a comfort level, and I think that's kind of what happened with Eric this year. He just kind of settled in a little bit.
We know regardless of the sport, winning solves a lot of issues, and we talked about that stretch, winning 10 of 11, number of guys stepping up during that stretch. When you look back at that stretch, how did the team vibe maybe change a little bit? Did the confidence, was there a confidence booster after that stretch that, hey, you know what, when things are going our direction, we are tough to beat?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there was some swagger that was created there that certain guys had, but I think more guys had to jump on board. You saw some of our younger players or some guys that hadn't been producing kind of get that same mentality as some of the other older guys that did have just an edge to them. I think that's the key thing for this team. I think the edge, the mentality that some of the guys that we brought in brought with them just spilled over to the rest of the team. And I think when you start seeing that, it's fun because you can kind of see the snowball rolling downhill, so to speak.
And the team was able to wrap up the regular season by winning their final 4 consecutive games. So what was the feeling around the team heading into that Horizon League tournament?
Yeah, I think we felt like we had a great shot. It's it's always been Wright State. It's at Wright State for, what, 8 years in a row? Yeah. And so we knew we were going to have to do it on their field and most likely beat them on their home field. And that's not easy. But I do feel like we had a little bit more of a belief system. And we were in the exact same spot as we were the year before. I mean, we were in the driver's seat. They had to beat us twice. And the year before, we just, you could sense it in the dugout. We didn't have that same type of belief. And it's baseball, but, you know, confidence goes a long way.
Well, you mentioned it, okay. So you start the tournament by knocking off Northern Kentucky, end up beating Wright State the first time, 4-1. Got some great starts from both Emke and Riley Peterson in those contests. So as you mentioned, you guys were in this spot just the year before. So do you even address it with the players that, hey, we've been here before? Or is it one of those, they know what's at stake, they know what they have to do, they have two chances to beat Wright State once?
Yeah, I don't really recall us saying a whole lot about it. I think, again, maybe the year before, because it was a little bit new to us, we maybe did address it a little bit more, talked about it. I think this group was more mature, and I don't think we really had to say much to them. They knew what was ahead of them, and I do think that our guys felt confident going into it, where the year before I felt like we were almost trying not to lose one of those two games. It was more or less, let's just go win. And I think that's more or less, like, that's the attitude you need to have, and I think that's what we did.
And the nice thing too is, and I know there's some questions wrapping up the regular season about the health of Gavin Tice, and all of a sudden you have Tice in the back pocket for game three.
Yeah.
How big of a luxury was that to have him for a situation like this?
Incredible, yeah. The maturity level and the comfortability between myself and Gavin as far as calling pitches and just the approach and knowing the opponent very well. We had a good plan going in. We knew what we wanted to do, and you know, it's, you can say that all you want, it's really not about coaching, it's about the player. You know, the player's got to execute pitches, and Gavin has, you know, was just an incredible competitor. Doesn't show it outwardly at all, but really competitive person and an extremely mature person, and I knew he could handle that moment. Doesn't mean it's easy and everybody's got nerves going into it, but he was kind of a calming influence for sure. And you could sense it from the position players. Every inning we came back to the dugout and our position players were just telling us, let's keep riding him. And, you know, even though he was not 100%, you know, he was the guy for that time for sure.
And you're right, he delivered with 8 strong innings for the Panthers. And you touched on just his personality, but when you look at Tice's career, I guess what stands out to you about him and how he's progressed from, you know, day one versus now? He was the 2025 Verizon League Pitcher of the Year, a 2-time first-team all-conference selection as well.
Yeah, from the first day he stepped on campus, in the baseball settings, he was a very mature kid. That's just who he is. He's a quality person and just a really mature person. But his journey was coming as a walk-on, really had no other offers, was just almost more or less just wanting to try it and see what was going to happen at this level. And he had his ups and downs early. We tried some different things, kind of figured out who he was and how the ball worked off of his hand. And then once he figured that out, extremely talented and just the perfect combination of physical talent and mental toughness / mental ability to just slow situations down. And that's what you saw when our team was out on the field with Gavin. You could just sense that they felt comfortable and that he was going to figure a way out of situations if he got into tough spots.
So then heading back to that third Horizon League tournament game, facing Wright State for a second consecutive game, the Panthers are up 3-1 into the ninth. Wright State scores 3. They go up 4-3. Joey Spence then hits an unforgettable walk-off, 2-run home run to give the Panthers a Horizon League tournament championship. Take us through, I guess, that emotional roller coaster ride that was the ninth inning.
Can't honestly tell you that I was 100% confident that we were going to, you know, figure out a way to win in that setting. But then again, I did feel like we had a good shot. I felt like, again, we had mature guys. We had guys going into the box that inning that really had a belief system, and I felt comfortable that we were going to have an opportunity to put a run on the board or maybe two and win. But very disappointing going into it, obviously, with the situation we were in, and felt like we had the game and just didn't finish it out. But guy like Joey Spence, you know, incredible human being, great person. Nobody works harder than him. Just seeing him do that was, you know, it couldn't have been anybody else in the box I would have wanted it more for sure.
What went through your mind as that ball is carrying out of the ballpark? You've been with this program a very long time as a player, as a coach, to be able to get back to the NCAA tournament with this group.
Yeah, it was a little surreal, especially the way that it happened, you know, being so high and then getting so low and then back up right away. It was almost like hard to believe at first until he crossed the plate. It was really kind of something I was shocked by, you know, but incredible opportunity that we had in front of us, and to just get to that point and then do it was completely satisfying. I mean, there's not much better for that than that feeling of getting over that hump, because we had been there, and I've been here a long time. So, you know, we've had opportunities in the past that we haven't capitalized on. So to do it, especially with this group, was really special.
You mentioned Joey Spence, named the Horizon League Tournament MVP, transfer, and at one point he was playing at Notre Dame. Just how big of an impact did he have, just, you know, in that locker room? Not just from, you know, at the plate, obviously brings a big bat, but that maturation, the former West Bend West Spartan, how much, you know, did he bring to this team and their success?
Yeah, he brought a level of maturity. Again, I keep using that word, but that's really what it takes. You know, at this level, you have to be able to handle the ups and downs. He's had a tough season. I mean, he really had a roller coaster season in the box, for sure. But that's where, you know, his leadership really did show. And what I'm getting at is, he had ups and downs in the box, but every time you put that kid behind the plate or at first base or just in the lineup, he came to play and do it the right way. And I think the experience he had before coming here helped him. Notre Dame was a great stop for him. And he's had opportunities to learn from different coaches. He's had a lot of experience. He brought that experience to the team, and he also just brought the right type of mentality every day to the park, and especially behind the plate, was just, again, as a pitching coach, you know, being, you know, working closely with the catchers and the pitchers, he was just a calming influence on our pitching staff, and brought so much to the table in so many different ways. So again, couldn't be happier for the way that it ended when we were at Wright State to have him do it.
Another transfer, big addition. How big of an addition was Dominic Kibler, a transfer from Kent State, from New Berlin, but he was named second team all region, named first team all Horizon League this spring.
Yeah, I would say similar things about Kibler. Different mentality. Kibler's definitely got a little bit more of a fiery spirit to him as far as how he approaches the game. And both of those guys are true competitors. They just go about it a little bit different. Dominic came a long ways as a catcher and felt very comfortable with him behind the plate as well. Both those guys were extremely easy to work with. They were very coachable as far as just talking in between innings, talking through situations, scenarios, how are we going to set guys up, what we're going to do with our pitching staff. And they both just worked extremely hard. That's a thing. Spence, Kibler, right on through all the rest of the catchers, you know, the younger guys that we had, really did work as hard or harder than anybody on the team, which, you know, at that position, you have to have that mentality. And both Kibler and Spence were good leaders and really did a good job of trying to help the younger guys out as well.
So from winning the Horizon League Tournament Championship, now on to the NCAA Tournament, up first, host Auburn. Boy, did the bats come alive early on in that matchup, scoring the first 10 runs of the game, playing with a 10-run lead, you know, versus in an NCAA tournament game regular season game. So the mindset change at all from how you guys approach, you know, pitchers you use, players you use, how you want to use them, knowing there's more games, you know, to come, knowing that Auburn's very capable of playing comeback from a 10-run deficit. Does the mindset change in a situation like that?
The real difficult thing for me as a pitching coach is I need to remind myself not to change in that scenario for sure. That team can come back in a heartbeat, and a couple swings, a couple of free bases, and before you know it, it's a 2-run game. So we needed to keep our mentality and not change our strategy going in. So the pitch selection needed to stay aggressive. We needed to attack. We needed to, you know, I don't believe we walked anybody in that game, that first game. So that was the mentality. It wasn't let's, you know, obviously you would think let's attack. But in that scenario with those types of hitters, sometimes guys get a little bit tentative. They want to pick at the edges. I had to keep reminding our guys, just let's just keep attacking. If we give up hits, we give up hits. But we're not going to let them get back in this game by, you know, trying to pitch to the edges or do something that we're not capable of. So we had to stay with our approach, and it's actually not easy. It's easy, you would think, to play with a lead. You want a lead. Yes, you can maybe do some more things. But sometimes in that scenario, especially in those types of games, you almost get a little bit shell-shocked, tentative, like, oh, we have this big lead. Now we have to try to protect it. And when you start thinking like that, that's when I think things can get off the rails.
Well, the Panthers were able to hang on for a 13-8 victory. And at this point, a good chunk of Wisconsin, all of a sudden, hey, Panther baseball crazy. Were you guys feeling that support down in Alabama?
I talked to a number of people about it. It was really a weird scenario because we would go back to the hotel room and we felt supported for sure. But we'd go back to the hotel room and see highlights on ESPN or see the ticker with our score and didn't really understand what was going on here at home. My wife would, you know, give me an update as, you know, like, hey, they're really, you know, promoting you back at home or things are going a little bit crazy around here. But we didn't really know that. We had support, and we had great support down there from the athletic department. They did a great job. But yeah, just as far as, you know, we get texts, and the texts were ridiculous, like 150 texts after a game, that type of thing, getting back to people. But it was just a weird situation when we were in it because we were in this bubble and really didn't know what was going on back at home.
So when did you finally realize how big it truly was? Was it after you got back and, you know, the dust kind of settled?
Yeah, more or less. When we got back, you know, just walking at home, you know, in the grocery store, if I had something UWM on or, you know, people stop you. And just people that you hadn't heard from, you know, in years, getting in contact. But it was a lot bigger than I thought because, like I said, when we were down there, we didn't really know.
So beating Auburn, beating UCF, and then lost a couple of times to Auburn in some very competitive battles. When you look at those two losses, in your opinion, what do those games come down to?
Yeah, I think ultimately they came down to we weren't deep enough on the pitching side. As a pitching guy, as a pitching coach, I'm a little disappointed in the fact that we weren't able to string together a few more good innings to keep us a little closer in those games. Obviously, you know, on the other side of the ball, they'd want to score a little bit more. But I'm always looking from my standpoint is what I can do better and what we can do better as a pitching staff. And we were okay. I think, you know, we were competitive, you know, and I felt like everybody that went in competed. But I just felt like we needed to be a little bit deeper because we had to really go back to the well, you know, and go to some guys that had already been in and some guys that probably, you know, needed a little bit of a break with the arm. You know, we went back to, I think we only threw 8 or 9 guys in 4 games. So that's not easy.
One of the things I think is challenging, and you get this every year with conference tournaments, NCAA tournaments, game times. And then sometimes those change up because of weather, the length of previous games. Start times are always changing. In some cases, like Game 3 of the NCAA tournament, you're playing extremely late at night, at least back home. How do you keep the guys, you know, ready to go with the scheduling changes that, do occur, where all of a sudden, hey, you think you're playing maybe at 1 o'clock, next thing you know, oh, just kidding, you're playing out 4 o'clock.
Yeah, that was tough. It was tough because you don't, downtime is just time to think. You know, our scouting reports and the preparation that we did going into it as a coaching staff was pretty much done. So we weren't necessarily gaining any more information. We were just waiting, and that's really difficult. I know the players were, they just wanted to play. So sitting around the hotel, we had gone there one time, we were sent back. We had to go back at late at night, in the, I think it was game three, where we were warming up at 9:30 at night, some rain, you know, stuff that can't be controlled. And you definitely, you don't really even need to address it because guys are locked in, they know what they need to do, but it's tough to wait. It's tough to wait in that scenario because we felt like, you know, we were on a roll and we just wanted to play.
Talking about some of the players, we've talked about some of the key contributors already, but another couple of players I want to mention, pitcher Camden Kunkey, named the Horizon League Reliever of the Year. What made him so effective?
It's a great story, really. You know, Cam became a full-time pitcher just this year, probably middle of fall. And, you know, he's a hard worker. He soaks up information. He just wants to keep getting better. He kind of developed some off-speed as the year went on. Got better and better with his secondary options. And, you know, really what he has coming out of the box is just a good fastball. You know, I mean, his fastball plays when he throws it to the top of the zone, especially. Cam is a guy that can beat hitters and get above their barrel. So that's kind of his initial weapon is just fastball. And when he's going right, fastball, lift is kind of his weapon. And then off of that, he did a good job of kind of mixing and matching his off-speed and developing as the year went on. But he's still got a ways to go there, too.
At the plate, among others who stepped up, you had Charlie Marion, Dylan O'Connell. What did you see from those two?
Charlie was amazing. Again, a great story because he had struggled so much early. And, you know, it was tough because he's not used to that. He's used to being in the middle of the order and just sitting there, you know, as one of our main guys. So went through some rough patches early and just had to stay with him because he's so talented. And once he'd clicked, you know, it clicked for him, he just took off and carried us for much of the second half. So I'm really happy for Charlie because, again, a hardworking dude, but just overcame a lot. And that's more important than anything. You know, you're going to have adversity in this game, and he found a way to overcome the mental struggle, which is like, I'm not going well, how am I going to fix this? And you know, he just stuck with it. Dylan is just a really talented player, more on the quiet side, does his business, and you know, just kind of goes about it the way he goes about it, but super, super talented, can really do anything in the game. And he's the type of guy that's just steady and could always bring something to the table. Obviously the speed with stolen bases, if he's on the bases, he really destroyed the other side just because they had to worry about him so much. You could see the level of pitch drop, you know, just the quality of pitch drop from the other side because they were so concerned about keeping him at first or second base. So really a disruptive player, you know, and somebody that you always want, you know, on your side.
What will you personally remember about this team's run?
I think ultimately, the most important thing is kind of what I alluded to before, is just the ability to overcome and come out of tough situations. And, you know, that's life. You know, you're going to have stuff that comes at you, and you got to figure out how to overcome it. You got to go after each day with the right mentality. And that's what this team did. Because, you know, we were dead going into the second half of the season. I mean, we could have really just packed it up and just finished out the season the way we started it. But some really competitive, mature kids, you know, on that team that didn't allow that to happen. So that's more than anything is what I'm going to remember.
And no question, a lot of excitement surrounded this program, rightfully so. How can a run like this help a program moving forward?
Yeah, I think it has already in the recruiting process. I think we've had a lot of interest from some players that maybe in the past would have overlooked Milwaukee. I think now that You know, I know every time I call somebody, that's the first thing they talk about is, hey, great season, great run. You know, it was fun to watch. So baseball's come a long way at the college level. The exposure and the media coverage, the TV coverage is really fun to see. It's taken off, and I think the sport is really going in the right direction at the college level. So, yeah, I think this has helped us move forward just by the fact that I think we put ourselves on the map a little bit, and now it's our job to keep it going.
To wrap it all up, let's again follow through with that. What is the focus for the Panthers now as you prepare for, you know, fall ball, but also 2027?
Yeah, it's really, you know, just getting things figured out right now. We just talking to Wegs, Coach Wegner, a few minutes ago. We're going to be meeting, trying to set a new tone or a tone for the fall. Every year's different. You got a different team. You got different players. The situation now, college baseball, is, you know, you're going to have a lot of turnover every year. So we got to figure out how to make this team special and figure out what makes this team tick a little bit. Last year's team, I think everybody going into it would say the offense was going to be our strength, and turned out down the stretch that's what happened. You know, going into this fall, we're going to have to figure out what that looks like. And with the players that we have coming in, we're really excited about the new players we have coming in. And it's just a matter of trying to set a course that's right for this team. And that's what we're starting to work on right now.
Well, Coach Bigler, thanks a lot for the time. Continued success. Congrats on all these successes past spring. And we look forward to 2027.
Appreciate it.
Thank you for joining us for the Pounce Cast.